Hello, Susanna Lopez with you from Sisters in Crime, and we bring you a brand new series of Scarlet Stiletto Bites, scintillating short crime fiction stories by our Australian Sisters in Crime authors. Recently, I had the privilege of escorting an adorable 102-year-old lady from an average nursing home in Melbourne to her daughters in Scotland. I saw a lot of that nursing home in the time we were packing and preparing to leave, and it made me pledge to myself that I will never be in one. Today's story is Milko by Morag Kissler, and was awarded the Best New Talent at the Scarlet Stilettos in 2013. Rain drums on the nursing home roof. Nurse Nguyen slides the glass closer, but I push it away. Milk splashes over the lip, and the bluish-white liquid dribbles down the side. The smell makes my stomach heave. "Important you drink, Mrs. Jennings. Need calcium." Nurse Nguyen's brown eyes are filled with apprehension. Nurse Howard stands by the window watching. I stare through the rain to the distant mountains, but in my periphery vision, Nurse Howard lurks like an enormous spider, hungry for its next meal. "Please, Mavis," Nurse Nguyen whispers and glances at Nurse Howard. "She no give dinner until you drink." Nurse Howard's mouth is a sullen red slash in her fat, middle-aged face. She rubs the hip pocket of her uniform where she keeps her cigarettes. Every few hours she sneaks outside and hides by the rose bushes where she thinks no one can see her. The growing pile of cigarette butts between the Double Delight and the Mr. Lincoln is down to Nurse Howard. The glowing ends of her cigarettes worry me. Her eyes, unblinking blue marbles fixed deep in the eye sockets, roll over me. An elderly woman in a wheelchair must pose little threat, because she takes a deep breath and marches across the room. Her shoes stick to the polished linoleum. She stumbles and examines the floor. A shadow looms over my wheelchair. Nurse Howard is beside me, her body quivering with resentment. My refusal to drink milk not only delays her cigarette break, but also flouts Dr. McClellan's instructions. Nurse Howard is a stickler for rules and has her own little ways to enforce obedience. She turns my wheelchair to face her, but I cross my arms and avoid her eyes. "Dr. McClelland insists you drink milk," she points to the glass. "I've told you before, supplements are no replacement for high quality calcium. We can't afford daily cheese and yogurt simply to satisfy you." The unappealing grey sludge that passes for dinner will sit on the bench at the side of the room until my milk is finished. By now it will be stone cold. But even lobster drowning in melted butter wouldn't tempt me to drink milk. The smell summons memories. Nurse Howard strokes her pocket like a well-loved pet. Her pale blue uniform strains across her enormous belly and large breasts, and at any moment I expect to be blinded by a stray button firing like a missile from her body. She thrusts the glass at my face. I brace my lips, but she clamps her hand in my hair and jerks back my head. I try to twist away, but I can't. "Come on now, Mavis," Nurse Howard tries to wedge the glass into my mouth. Her eyes are fastened on mine. "Dr. McClellan says you must drink milk." She pries the glass between my lips. It clunks against my teeth and I'm terrified it will break. "Your bones are weak," Nurse Howard grits her tar-stained teeth and tries again, twisting the glass back and forth against my lips, seeking an opening. Her breath reeks of stale cigarettes. Stop! Cries Nurse Nguyen. You hurt her! Nurse Howard slams the glass down on the table. If we were alone, she'd stop only when the milk was a choking white stream in my gullet. Drink! She demands. I don't want it! I struggle and manage to free my head. It's not a matter of wanting! Nurse Howard's voice is low like a growling cat. Osteoporosis is serious. Do you want that hip to heal or not? I hate milk! My words echo through the empty dining room. The other residents long ago retired to the television room. What's upset us today, Mavis? Nurse Howard coos in a sickly sweet voice. The sudden mock concern turns my stomach. Her pudgy fingers rest like fat sausages on my shoulders. I stiffen, brush them off, and turn my wheelchair. Outside, a black cat crouches in the agapanthus. Its eyes are locked on an unsuspecting starling, and I fantasize I'm the cat and Nurse Howard the bird. I wouldn't kill her immediately. Rather take my time, play a little, then rip off her feet and tear her to shreds. Come on now, Mavis. Her voice grates like sand in my ears. You may as well get used to the way we do things here. You won't be going home. Pain lances through my hip when I turn and glare at her bloated face. I wince, and Nurse Howard's lips creep upwards into a smile. Nurse Nguyen's cheeks are aflame. Her eyes smoulder with anger. I think Mavis go to her room now, she says, and grabs the handles of my wheelchair. Stop, orders Nurse Howard. Mavis hasn't finished her milk. It's Mrs. Jennings to you, I snap and sweep my arm across the table. A wave of milk soaks Nurse Howard's uniform and splashes her face and hair. The glass clatters across the floor and stops unbroken against the skirting board. Nurse Nguyen dips her head and hides a smile. Get a mop! Nurse Howard barks, and Nurse Nguyen's smile dissolves. Now! Screams Nurse Howard. Nurse Nguyen throws me a worried look, then runs from the room. Nurse Howard digs a handkerchief from her pocket and wipes her face. She slowly turns the wheelchair and thrusts her face level with mine. Her breath is hot on my cheeks. The stench of stale tobacco and milk are overwhelming. Now listen, you old bitch. She clamps my wrists to the arms of the wheelchair. When I try to pull away, she presses down like a millstone, grinding my arms into the leather. Keep it up and you'll find yourself in the dementia ward. Her enormous bosom hovers near my face. For a few seconds I struggle, but the weight of her body crushes my wrists, and so I am forced to surrender. Nurse Howard smirks, releases her grip and steps back. Spite gleams in her eyes, the telltale mark of a practiced bully. Fresh bruises bracelet my wrist, and the smell of milk clogs my nostrils. There's little I can do to fight back, so I clasp my hands to my chest and pretend to be frightened. I force a small cry from my mouth and widen my eyes like a cornered animal. Nurse Howard's smile broadens. She thinks she has me cowed, so I let her momentarily gloat, then spit in her face. She swings her arm up into the air, then stops. Her eyes dart about the room as she lowers her arm. There are no witnesses, so she leans down, grabs my ear, and rakes it upwards till we are so close I can see the blackheads on her nose. Stubborn old bitch, she hisses, then thrusts me back into the wheelchair. You'll pay for that. She grabs my sleeve and wipes the spit from her face. My vision blurs as the wheelchair spins. The metal frame jolts my hip and my head snaps back as Nurse Howard propels me like a freight train at full speed down the corridor. We thunder past my favourite nurse, who dives out of the way and slams his back hard against the wall. "Jonathan, in here," barks Nurse Howard. "Now!" She pitches the wheelchair around the corner into my room. Jonathan squeezes past Nurse Howard. His eyes flick back and forth between our faces.
"No dinner for Mrs. Jennings tonight," Nurse Howard's voice drips sugary concern. "She's not feeling well. Bit of an upset tummy."
The lie is underpinned by her podgy hand rubbing her enormous belly. I roll my eyes at Jonathan, who silently flips back the sheets, lifts me into bed and bolsters my back with pillows.
"Thank you," I whisper.
He tucks the blankets around my waist and hands me a book from the nightstand. Jonathan knows I like to read before sleeping. He gives me a sly wink and is gone. A pink tongue flickers across Nurse Howard's dry lips. "You're a troublemaker," she says and rubs her hands. "But I know how to deal with creatures like you." I don't reply. Her eyes smoulder with loathing. Nurse Howard lunges at me, grabs my shoulders and shakes my body like a dog with a kitten. I fight for breath. "If it's the last thing you do," she snarls and gives my shoulder a violent thrust, "you'll bloody well drink milk." The pain is excruciating and I gulp for air, unable to speak. Nurse Howard skulks by the bed like a vulture, menacing a dying animal. Her flushed face and thrust-out jaw remind me of father. All bullies look alike. I smell milk on her uniform and begin to gag. "Get out!" I gasp and dry retch. Nurse Howard jumps back. For a few seconds she stands silently watching, then slips her hand deep into her pocket and fondles her cigarettes.
"We'll talk later," she sneers, "now that we understand each other."
She turns and stomps from the room. Her footsteps thud down the hall and I relax only when the double doors at the end of the corridor squeak open and then click shut. I think how one day when my heel has hipped, Nurse Howard will pay for her actions. She might terrify the other residents, but not me. I've dealt with bullies before. The stink of milk lingers in my nostrils, so I put my book on the bedside table and wave my hands in the air to dispel the odour. I sink deep into the pillows, close my eyes and hold my breath.
"Milko,"
the word drifts into my mind. Milko was what the milkman was called back in my youth when milk was delivered right to the front door. The glass bottles had long, elegant necks, stoppered with thick rings of cream and capped with red foil lids. As a child, I was often woken up by the clip-clop of Clydesdale hooves on the road outside our house. Sometimes I slipped out of bed and fed an apple to the milk horse or hitched a ride in the cart to the bottom of the street.
"2 pints of milk, thank you,"
Mother's nightly note, written in looping copperplate, was rolled into a white scroll, then slipped into the neck of an empty bottle and placed on the porch. Back then, milk was just plain milk. None of this non-fat, calcium-enriched, no-added-folate nonsense. On Saturdays, to see us through the weekend, Mother ordered 4 pints and a half a pint of cream for Sunday lunch. Father was generally sober by lunchtime.
My father was a cruel man with a vicious temper. He enjoyed humiliating my mother, and his booming voice and sullen face were enough to send my 8-year-old feet scurrying from the room. The walls shook as his angry words thundered through the house, abusing mother for simple things like cooking chops when he preferred steak, buying the wrong brand of tomato sauce, or crunching cereal at breakfast could ignite a stream of abuse, or worse. Mother was usually the object of his wrath, but on several occasions I too received the back of his hand. The worst of the violence would always come when his belly was full of drink. Sometimes Mother and I escaped for a walk or visited friends, hoping that on our return, Father would have passed out. But often we found him skulking by the door, lips hardened to slits and eyes fierce with anger. Then his meaty fists went to work. I resented the suffering Father caused. Any infraction of his ever-changing rules could fuel a vicious outburst. The beatings were never referred to outside our home. In those days, dirty washing was never hung out in public. I was a child, physically incapable of fighting back, but my child brain brimmed with rage. I watched one night as my drunken father lurched through the garden, uprooting the pelargonium and crushing the alyssum. He stumbled into the milk bottles lining the doorstep. His legs buckled, but his great hairy paw grasped the weatherboards and somehow he managed to stay upright. I slipped into bed, disappointed, but with an idea hatching in my brain. Father's violence had to stop. Mother was a nervous wreck, and I was terrified. Mother was surprised at my offer to take over the task of putting out the milk bottles. She was also pleased that I began drinking milk in earnest. I was painfully thin, so when I got through one and sometimes 2 pints a day, Mother was delighted. My matchstick limbs soon thickened. My ribs no longer poked through my singlets. On a bitterly cold night in August, I put out the milk bottles, not in the usual neat line along the step, but scattered across the porch. I waited, peering through the front curtains, until Father staggered into view. His big feet crashed into the bottles, sending them spinning like a glass whirlwind. One rolled under his boot. He began to dance like a marionette, arms and legs flailing in awkward, jerking movements. Suddenly, as if the strings had been cut, his body crumpled. Smack! Father's head hit the brick paving. The sound of breaking glass woke Mother. "What was that?" she called. "It's a possum, Mum, nosing round the milk bottles," I replied. "Don't worry, I'll fix it. Go back to sleep." I bolted to the porch and flung open the door. Father was lying on his back amidst shards of glass. A halo of blood was forming round his head. He groaned, reached out a trembling hand, then passed out. I stood rooted to the spot, wondering what to do. Mother appeared in the doorway, took one look at Father and dragged me inside. She shut the door and together we crawled into bed. I shivered, unable to get warm, even after Mother dug out extra blankets and piled them onto the bed. Cold sliced into my bones. My teeth chattered and Mother slipped her arms around my body. I lay with my eyes open, staring into the dark, ears pricked, waiting for the creak of the front door. The rain began in earnest at about 2 a.m. and still Father didn't appear. Rain thrummed on the roof. Thunder exploded like shell bursts above the house, and lightning filled the bedroom with dazzling white light. I slipped out of bed and pulled back the front curtains. A flash of lightning lit up the sky and Father's still body. His eyes were closed and his face ghostly pale. "Mavis, come back to bed," Mother called. I returned trembling. She kissed my forehead and stroked my hair. Try to sleep, love. It'll be all over soon. Milko! The call woke us, followed by the sound of bottles smashing on the pavers. We ran to the front door and Mother switched on the light. The milkman stood, with his hands shaking, fingers curled as if still gripping the milk bottles that lay shattered at his feet. He gaped at my father's motionless body as milk bled in white streams across the porch and splinters of glass winked like diamonds beneath the porch light. I clung to Mother, peering from behind her floral nightie at my blue-lipped father, whose clothes were soaked where his body jutted from beneath the roof. A watery pink liquid, blood mixed with milk, pooled round his head. "He's alive," Mother said. Her voice was thick with disappointment. "His chest is moving." Someone, I don't know who, but it was certainly neither Mother nor I, called an ambulance. As medics lifted Father onto a stretcher, I clasped my hands and prayed. And for once, God listened. Pneumonia was the cause of death printed on my father's death certificate, which now hangs in a gold frame on my bedroom wall at home. Before my accident, each night as I tucked myself into bed, I glanced up at that certificate, then closed my eyes and slept soundly. It's the smell I remember most about that night. Milk mingled with blood. Just the thought of milk is enough to conjure up Father's bloated face in that watery pink pool. Mother understood when I stopped drinking milk, but worried about my calcium intake. My osteoporosis, like so many other trials in my life, I put down to Father. It's his fault my bones are weak and that I'm once again helpless in the vice-like grip of a bully. But I'll find a way through this. A quiet knocking interrupts my thoughts and Nurse Nguyen pops her head around the door. "Can I come in?" She's smiling. "You'll not have dinner," she says. "I worry you're hungry." She puts a large bottle of fruit juice on my bedside table. Mango and pineapple is printed in bright orange letters on the label. "Vegemite sandwich." She slides a plate onto the tray. "All I can get. Kitchen closed." "Thank you," I say. "You're very sweet." My stomach growls as I sink my teeth into the bread. "If you not finish," Nurse Nguyen says, pouring a glass of juice, "we put in fridge." She nods towards the bar fridge in the corner. Nurse Nguyen is a kind woman, and I suspect the juice is from her own shopping bag and not the nursing home's usual no-name brand that tastes more of water than fruit. The bottle is shaped like the milk bottles of my youth. Thoughts of Father prowl in my mind as footsteps pound along the hall. Suddenly, Nurse Howard, smelling of cigarettes, fills the doorway. "What are you doing?" She spies the juice and half-eaten sandwich, rushes into the room and fires a death stare at Nurse Nguyen. "She's not to have dinner." "This not prison," Nurse Nguyen replies and squares her shoulders. "Get out," Nurse Howard points to the hall. Nurse Nguyen strides past, head held high, and Nurse Howard shadows her to the door. When we're alone, she turns. I eye her over the rim of the glass. We glare at each other like two lionesses about to fight over a kill. She lunges for the bottle. I snatch it from the tray and juice slops onto the floor. Nurse Howard steps back. Her face is flushed. She watches, calculating the next move. I cradle the bottle to my chest. It's cold and again reminds me of my childhood milk bottles. Nurse Howard springs forward. We wrestle for the bottle, Pain shoots through my hip and down my legs, but I grip fast. Nurse Howard is breathing hard. She tries to drag the bottle from my hands, but I refuse to let go. Sweat beads on her forehead. My hip is killing me, but I hold tight as she nearly hoists me off the bed. With all my strength, I yank the bottle from her hands. She overbalances and staggers backwards. I slump into the pillow, panting. Nurse Howard's eyes are icy with hate. She takes a deep breath and slides one foot towards me. Come closer and I'll smash it, I snarl. Our eyes lock. Nurse Howard swears. For a few seconds, she stands silently watching. Bitch, she mutters, then turns and stomps toward the door. Her broad back reminds me of father. Hatred floods my veins. Nurse Howard didn't see me lean out of bed. I grip the bottle in my right hand. The pain is excruciating, but with all my strength, I swing back my arm. I concentrate, then hurl the bottle at her feet. It hits the floor in a wake of juice. Nurse Howard is nearly at the door. She stops and glances over her shoulder. She looks puzzled, but hasn't yet spotted the bottle. It gathers speed. She lifts her foot, about to take another step. The bottle rolls beneath her shoe. She puts her weight down. Her fat legs waver, and her enormous body begins to tilt. Her hands grasp wildly at air. I hold my breath, watch, and pray. The end. I'm Susanna Lopez. I look forward to narrating another Scarlet Stiletto Bite story for you next Friday.